turn to a very well-known portion of God's word in Philippians and chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3. Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things to you, to me indeed, is not irksome, but for you it is safe. Beware of the dogs. Beware of the evil workers. Beware of the concision. For we are the circumcision who worship by the Spirit of God and glory in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. Though I myself might have confidence even in the flesh. If any other man thinketh to have confidence in the flesh, I yet more, circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law, a Pharisee, as touching zeal, persecuting the church, as touching the righteousness which is in the law, found blameless. Howbeit, what things were gained to me, these have I counted loss for Christ. Yea, verily, and I count all things to be loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but refuse, that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of mine own, even that which is of the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of his sufferings, becoming conformed unto his death, if by any means I may attain unto the resurrection from the dead. Not that I have already obtained, or am already made perfect, but I press on, if so be, that I may lay hold on that for which also I was laid hold on by Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself yet to have laid hold, but one thing I do, forgetting the things which are behind, and stretching forward to the things that are before, I press on toward the goal, unto the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many as are perfect, be thus minded. And if in anything ye are otherwise minded, this also shall God reveal unto you. Only whereunto we have attained, by that same rule, let us walk. Shall we just pray? Lord, as we bow in thy presence yet once again in prayer, it is to simply ask that thou wilt take thy word and make it live to us. Write it on our hearts, Lord. Deliver us from familiarity with thy word. But, oh, bring it to us with all the freshness and vitality. For thy words, they are spirit and life. And, oh, beloved Lord, we praise thee for the power of thy word. Thou hast said, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Oh, beloved Lord, let thy word dwell in us richly in all its fullness, its perfect balance. And we ask that our lives, all of us, all our lives, may be so filled with thy Spirit that the Lord Jesus may be manifested in us all. Men and women shall come to know thee because of seeing him in us. And we pray for this evening, Lord, make that a glorious time. Bless everyone who goes through those waters, and make it a time of salvation and recovery and building up and establishing. And so to thee we give our praise, not forgetting, Lord, our nation and country, praying, Lord, that thy will shall be done in this coming week. We ask it all in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. I just have a little word on my heart that I would like to pass on. I think especially for those of you who are going to be baptized this evening. It is found in this very well-known passage of Philippians chapter 3 and is verse 12. The last part of verse 12. I will read it again. That I may lay hold on that for which also I was laid hold on by Christ Jesus. That I may lay hold on that for which also, I was laid hold on by Christ Jesus. This is a very strong word. I think in your authorized version it is apprehended. And it's got the thought of someone being almost arrested. Someone being, as it were, almost taken into custody. And what the apostle is saying is this. That you and I, we believers, have been taken into custody by Christ Jesus. We've been arrested by Christ Jesus. We've been apprehended by Christ Jesus. We've been laid hold on by Christ Jesus. He's put his hand on us. He's taken hold of us. Now, those of you who are being baptized, the most wonderful thing in your life has happened. You have been laid hold on by Christ Jesus. He has taken hold of you. He's arrested you. There are two things here which settle an awful lot of controversy and confusion and perplexity. There are Christians who would have us believe that we have everything when we're converted. This is certainly not Pauline in one sense, and it is thoroughly Pauline in another sense. There are other Christians who would have us believe that we only got a little when we were converted and that we must have definitely a second experience, and some would tell us there are a number of other experiences we ought to have as well. Therefore, you get either an atmosphere where we praise the Lord that we have everything, but in our heart we're not experiencing it. Then we say to ourselves and comfort ourselves by telling ourselves that we are living by faith and not by feeling. This is a rather sad type of experience. It's rather like sitting down for a meal and saying, thank you, the meal is here. Thank you. That it's all prepared. Thank you that we're now about to eat it and there's nothing on the table. On the other hand, you've got another kind of atmosphere where all the time it's a question of stress and strain. You've got to reach out all the time. You haven't got it. There's something else you've got to get. And when you've got it, you've arrived, if you're in that particular circle. Then you may feel that you're there and that you're in, on the inside. To me, this one chapter settles forever, the confusion that exists on this subject. First of all, the apostle tells us, I was laid hold on by Christ Jesus. Something historic happened in my life. Something I cannot deny. Something happened. I was laid hold on by Christ Jesus. And then he tells us that he will lay hold on that for which he was laid hold on by Christ Jesus. Now someone will say straight away, the Apostle Paul is just being rhetorical. He's using a bit of rhetoric here. He had got it all. After all, he had written the Corinthian letters, the Roman letters, the Thessalonian letters. He had probably written Galatians. He might even have written Colossians and Ephesians when he wrote Philippians. He'd obviously got it. Why, many of us, if we had a third of that knowledge, would be absolutely delighted. If God had so revealed things to us, as he had to the Apostle Paul when he wrote this letter to the Philippians. But you will see that he says in verse 13, brethren, I count not myself yet to have laid hold. Well, then someone says, he means when he gets to glory. Not so. He explains himself. But one thing I do, forgetting the things which are behind and stretching forward to the things which are before, I press on. Now that for me settles it. In other words, when you and I are converted, when God laid hold on us, everything was provided. It is absolutely right to say that every single thing necessary for our salvation, necessary for our being changed into the image of the Lord Jesus, conformed to the image of the Lord Jesus, everything necessary for working in us a capacity for glory, everything necessary for us to live the Christian life, everything necessary to serve God, power, fullness, equipment, gift, position, whatever it is, authority, it's all been provided. It's all there, all given, all won for us. It is the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ which has obtained it, not my zeal, nor my walk with God, nor my holiness, nor anything else that might appertain to myself. That will never win any of these things. It is the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ that has won it all for me. Therefore, when God laid hold on me, it was all done. Everything necessary for me from the beginning to the end had been provided before I started. Isn't this wonderful? Why, just to confuse you, in Romans, I think it's chapter 9, the apostle says that before those twins were even born, before they had been named Jacob and Esau, God had already provided for Jacob. He had done it all before he was born, and had outlined and defined his whole character and life before he was even born. The same was true of Jeremiah when the Lord laid his hand on him and said, when thou wast in thy mother's womb, I knew thee. Laid hold on by Christ Jesus. Sometimes, of course, we think that when we stood up in a meeting or we went forward in a meeting or we signed a card, or when we wept in our own room, or when we called upon the name of the Lord, however we were converted, we naturally think it was ourselves. We took a step toward God. It was not really so. It was God who had taken a step toward us. But we didn't know it. We didn't know it. There can be no conversion, nothing at all, unless God in His grace starts to move in a human life. Did you know that? I cannot explain the mystery of free will and human responsibility, but one thing I am absolutely convinced, and that is that God is the one who takes the initiative. What were we laid hold of by Christ Jesus for? Why did He start to warm our hearts? So that we, in our blindness, not even knowing that it was God, not even knowing that it was the gracious ministry of the Holy Spirit, we just thought that it was ourselves moving forward, becoming concerned, feeling empty, feeling unhappy. It wasn't really so at all. It was the action of the Holy Spirit. For the Lord Jesus said, when He has come, He will convict the world of sin, of righteousness, of judgment. Suddenly, hardly knowing it, we become more serious. We begin to think, why are we thinking? Why are we becoming more serious? What is happening in our lives? Why do we suddenly feel a need that we didn't feel before? Why has the carelessness about divine things suddenly been replaced by a desire to understand and to experience the things of God? It is God laying hold on us. Why did God lay hold on us? Oh, we can't answer that. I don't know. One day, I don't know even then if we shall ever know. Why does that someone love anyone? Answer that one. Some people love the most extraordinary people. At least in my estimation. They don't think so. They can see beauties and qualities and characteristics and depths that if we were to look for a decade or two, we couldn't find. But love, that's love. And the most extraordinary statement in the Bible is Jacob, I have loved. It's inexplicable. But we must not spend our whole time talking about the inexplicable. Rather, we ought just to spend the little time that we have just pointing out that when the Lord has laid hold on us, we have to lay hold on that for which we were laid hold on by Him. Got it? He takes hold of us, we take hold of Him. Whatever it is that He's laid hold on us for, we take hold of it by faith. And we shall know this, that as we work out our salvation, it is God who is working in us, both willing and working for His good pleasure. What then has the Lord laid hold on us for, so that we may be the clearer as to what we must lay hold of? Well, firstly, and this hardly needs saying, He has laid hold on us for salvation. Isn't that so? We know that. He laid hold on us. Now, there is not a person in this room who did not lay hold on that salvation when He laid hold on you. Many of us thought we were laying hold on Him. That's all it was. We thought, oh, I took Him as my Savior. That's how we said. I took Him as my Savior. Do you know what you were really doing? You were laying hold on that for which He had laid hold on you. He had put His hand on you unbeknown to you for salvation. And when your heart was awakened a cry, and finally it took shape in faith, and you said, I will take Him as my Savior. And that moment you were saved. Now, when were you saved? You were saved 2,000 years ago. That's when you were saved. In fact, if we're to believe the word, we were foreknown from before the foundation of the world. God knew all about it before even the world came into being. All about you and me. But supposing you hadn't laid hold of that salvation, what would have happened? You wouldn't have been saved. So simple, isn't it? You know it was a finished work. You know it was a complete work. You know that he loved you and gave himself for you. Therefore, you opened your heart and laid hold on that for which he had laid hold on you.
Now, if only when we were first saved, we had a bigger vision.
If only our understanding was greater and deeper, what a change it would be. If we understood when we were converted that it wasn't just that we might have joy and peace and life, eternal life, and one day go to heaven, but if only we'd understood that it was a question of being conformed to his image. Now, the more you and I go on, the more you and I realize what a job God has got on hand. We find out levels in ourselves of duplicity, levels, depths of sin, of darkness we had never dreamt of when we were first saved. And as we go on, we feel rather that we're becoming less like the Lord rather than more like the Lord. And then there comes into our heart a question, will it ever happen? Can it ever happen? Unbelief comes, which could paralyze us. But listen, God has laid hold on you. You have been laid hold on, taken hold of, by Jesus Christ, that you might be changed, conformed to his image, that you might be like him. Think of that. He took hold of you. Now, one other thing. He knew much more about you than you know about yourself. He knew those depths of wickedness and duplicity in you. When he took hold of you, he knew all about it before he started. There is no discovery for him. There's no surprises for God. He knew. Now, if only you and I could rise up in faith and say, I'm going to take hold of him for that which he's taken hold on me for. I'm going to take hold of him. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Colossians 1, verse 27. And then 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 12. God hath called you into his eternal glory in Christ Jesus. But you and I know that the question of glory is that the more of Christ there is in us, the more glory there will be. So we've got to be changed into his likeness from glory to glory. What does that mean? Does it mean that you have one glorious ecstatic experience followed by another more glorious ecstatic experience? And that's what it means to be changed. Well, thank God there is an experience of joy, unspeakable and full of glory. But let us get this quite clear. This being changed from glory to glory is a very, very painful business. Because it's not just a question of the glory filling you, but the enlargement of the capacity. And that's the thing that's painful. So if we take hold of the Lord for that which he has taken hold of us, we're going to know some discipline. We're going to know some deep ways with God. But isn't it worth it? My, it'd be worth it. You know, when I was at school, I remember that teacher droning on and on and on in French and having absolutely no interest at all, just dreaming out the window. Have you not had an experience like that? Now, you younger ones, you don't know anything about it. But you older ones, no, you don't. You're too young. But you older ones, all the regrets that come later in life. Oh, the times I've heard people say to me, if only I had listened when I was a child. If only I had taken... I would love to be able to do this now. I would love to be able to understand this now. I would love to be... But now I haven't got time. You know, one day in glory, it'll be a bit like that. When we are finally are before the Lord. And some will say, oh, if only I'd been prepared to go that way with God when he tried to lead me. But I wouldn't have it. And now look at so-and-so. Absolutely blazing with glory. Blazing with glory. There won't be any jealousy, by the way, up there, or any rivalry at all, anything like that. But you will know it. I mean, facts are facts. Truth is truth. You will say, look at her, isn't it beautiful? The Lord in that one, just look at that. And look at me. I'm just like a little glowworm. Thank God, there's some glory in me. I'm here. I shall thank God for all eternity, I'm here. But if only I'd let him do that work in me. If only I'd allowed him to take me that path that he wanted to take me. But I wasn't ready for it. I didn't lay hold on that for which he laid hold on me. I just sat there saying, oh, I've got it all. Which, of course, is so true. But I didn't lay hold on it. I didn't take the kingdom of heaven by violence. I didn't possess what was mine. I didn't put the soles of my feet down and say, this is mine. By the grace of God. You folks who are being baptized this evening, if the Lord tarry and 20 years go by, and we are all here again after 20 years, we shall see those who have laid hold on that for which they were. We shall see it. It will be written in their characters, written in your characters, written on your faces. You look at the world and see some of the old folks in the world with misery, drawn lines, crabby, sad, empty. But it is infinitely sadder to see an old Christian who is misery drawn. Crabby. Oh, it's a sad thing. There's no need for it. The fact is this, it's not your effort nor my effort. It is that God has given us everything in the Lord Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit has come to lead us into all that. You and I have got to lay hold on that for which also we were laid. Take something else. We know very well that power has been given us for service. We know very well that we cannot go into the work of God or the service of God without the fullness of God. Woe betide anyone who does, they come unstuck. You cannot go through in the work of God or the service of God without the equipment and without the power and authority. That's why even our Lord Jesus, having been born of the Spirit, when he was 30 years of age, when he went down into those waters of baptism, the age when the priest and Levite entered into service, the Holy Spirit came upon him and anointed him. Now we know very well that the Holy Spirit has been given us. Is that not so? Can anyone think? Of course, many do. But can anyone think that the Holy Spirit is going to be given today? He has been given. Because the Lord Jesus received the promise of the Spirit when he ascended on high and led captivity captive. He received it then and poured forth the Holy Spirit. Why then are there so many empty Christians? Why are there so many Holy Spirit-less Christians? Because we have not laid hold on that for which we were laid hold on by Christ Jesus. The promise is to you and to your children and to those that are far off. Not there's going to be lots and lots of sort of new givings, but rather that you will have such an experience when the Holy Spirit comes into you that it will seem as if it's a Pentecost for you. The promise is to you and to your children and to those that are afar off. And, listen to this, to as many as the Lord our God shall call. Have you been called? Not to the mission field. I mean called to God. Called to his salvation. Are you one of the elect? Are you one of God's people? Then the promise is to you. Have you possessed the promise? Thank God for everyone who at their conversion took hold of that promise and was filled from that instant. But have you entered in? May God give us all help to enter in. Simply say, well, Lord, here I am. It's not that I've got anything or am anything. I'm nothing. But you have died to give me all this. I today take hold. I forget the things that are behind. Paul didn't mean forget your conversion. Forget all those wonderful experiences he'd had when he was caught up to the third heaven, heard things it was not lawful for a man to utter, and all the other things that we've got contained in so many of these letters written before this one. Of course he didn't mean it, but what he meant was, don't just think you've got everything with that. Forget those things, there's more. Let's go on. If the Apostle Paul said, I do not, not that I have already... obtained, he says. Brethren, I count not myself yet to have laid hold. If the Apostle Paul, with all his experience and knowledge, thinks that he has not yet laid hold, how much more you and I? Isn't there more of Christ to take hold of? More of the fullness of God to enter into? Of course there is. The world has yet to see people who have fully and completely entered into all that God has for us. Well, I must close. But I would not close without saying that God has laid hold on us for something else too. He has laid hold on us not only that we may be conformed to his image, not only that we may have power and fullness, but that we may be his bride. That we might become the dwelling place of God. How many verses there are. How much of the New Testament is taken up with this matter? You think of it. The Apostle Paul in Ephesians says, look here, I want you to understand this dispensation of the mystery that's been given to me. What is it? It is simply this, that we've all been made the dwelling place of God, a habitation, a home for God in the Spirit. And then he goes on to explain it in terms of a body, and then he goes on to explain it in terms of a wife. And we find the same in Peter. The Apostle Peter says, we are a house that's being built. Christ is the cornerstone, a living stone. We've come to him as living stones, quarried out of the same rock. We're being built. It's the city of God. One day we'll find Abraham there, and Isaac there, and Jacob there, and Joseph there, and Moses there, and all the others. They'll all be there. I sometimes wonder whether some of us will be there. We'd look down our noses at some of the Old Testament saints and feel that somehow they had not arrived. But God says he didn't let them arrive. Isn't that an amazing word at the end of Hebrews 11? He didn't let them arrive so that they could not be made perfect without us. So it's the other way round. We tend to think that we're the people and they are the poorer ones. But the Lord said, no, I held them back. I didn't let them come to completeness and fullness because I wanted you Gentiles to come into this glorious work that I have been doing from the beginning. And so that's the whole thing God is after. Now, he has laid hold on us that we might be part of that body, fellow members with the saints, of the same body, middle wall of partition broken down and gone. If God could give us a vision of that, it would be tremendous. Because it is not an it, nor a thing, but it is a person. It is simply that you and I have become part of the Lord Jesus Christ. Just an integral part of him, as body to head. May the Lord help us to rise up and say today, yes, as I go into those waters of baptism, it's farewell to an old life, that's the testimony. Farewell to the world, farewell to self, farewell to a haywire individualism. I come up out the other side in Christ, in a new man, in a new being, in a new creation. That's the testimony in those waters. And you know they baptized people in the New Testament almost immediately after they were saved. Before they had time to sort of think they were in the water and baptized. Well, now someone will say, that's, why did they do that? There must have been many mistakes. I'm sure there were. But their whole point was this. Don't you get baptized because you're ready. You think you're ready. You get baptized because God has done something already. And the whole of your life will be the working out of it. The whole of your life, if you'll only let the Lord, from that day onward, from the when those 3,000 were saved, they had no history behind them at all. They just suddenly heard a most extraordinary noise, went into the temple forecourt, saw some extraordinary sights, and got saved. And then they were baptized the same afternoon. And then the sorting out started. And God started to work out his all that it meant when they were baptized. May the Lord help then each one of us. Shall we pray? How we thank thee, Lord, that we've been laid hold on by thee. What a privilege. How awesome it is, Lord, that thou who art infinite, so great, so mighty, all-seeing, thou shouldst have taken hold of such as we. And Lord, our prayer now, this morning, is that faith may be stirred up in every one of us to lay hold on that for which thou hast laid hold on us. So the Lord, we enter in. O Lord, may it be so. With every single one of us, and especially those who are going to be baptized today. And so we give the rest of this day to thee in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ.